Hello everyone and welcome to the Planet FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Judy and I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Could you please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today our speakers are Tony, Ronaldo and Guy, and they will be sharing on their experience, strength and hope. Right, Tony, could you start us off, please?
Sure. My name's Tony. I'm an alcoholic. For me, the whole journey of Alcoholics Anonymous started back in 2022. Can't remember the exact date. but I was in a bad place. I mean, I was never a person who drank on a daily basis, but definitely more than twice a week, and the day that I decided that I needed help was because I had my second DUI. After spending 36 hours in jail, I went home, and I was supposed to meet up with some friends that day, and I called them up, and I told them, obviously, that I wasn't going to be able to make it. Coincidentally, these friends, I had gone to a university with them, and one of them just, you know, over a FaceTime call, you know, told me, dump out all the alcohol that's left in your house, hydrate today, and tomorrow get your butt to a meeting. This person is not an alcoholic, but for some reason it was like very, it finally broke through, I guess. The following day, on a Sunday, I went to my first meeting, and it was a little bit confusing because, one, I did not know what I knew I needed to be there, but I didn't know why I was there, so to speak. And I saw all these people laughing and joking around and having a good time, which confused me even more because I only had the illusion of AA from what movies and television shows you, which, you know, a bunch of somber people drinking bad coffee and smoking is the perception that I had from it. And crying my eyes out during the meeting, they called on me to share, and I just asked for help, which to me was so foreign that I'm amazed to date that I was able to get the words out, you know, help me. And for the first year, I basically shut my mouth and listened and did what I was told, not just by my sponsor, but by everybody around, old-timers, fellow newcomers, people with under 10 years of sobriety, people with over 10 years of sobriety. And some of the things that really got to me were the fact that I went through two very close family losses during that time, and I did not find those to be triggering. I also went through other things. I had recently, my girlfriend ended our relationship because of my drinking, but we were still living together. It was fairly amicable, and it was more for financial reasons that we still lived under the same roof. But those kinds of things didn't trigger me either. I was very shocked to realize that one of my triggers back then during my first year was I ran out of cigarettes. And I didn't have a cigarette in something like 18 hours. And yeah, I was definitely like, yeah, we need to go get you some. And little by little, from everything that I've learned throughout my time in the first year, it was more how to discover that Alcoholics Anonymous is not about just the quitting drinking. Quitting drinking was our solution to our issues. Bad solution, yeah, definitely. You know, terrible solution. But it was our solution. And that first year was discovering a new solution. And that AA is not primarily about just stopping drinking, but about finding a different solution. Finding out that you are not alone. You know, you're not the only one going through losses, going through heartbreak, going through financial difficulties. We're all going through that as addicts. But we think we're alone because we've isolated ourselves so much, thinking that nobody's going to understand us or that nobody's going to want to help somebody like us. And when you join AA, if that's your choice, there are many other ways to get sober. My choice was Alcoholics Anonymous. And to find out that I was not alone and that I was welcome somewhere and that I'm welcome anywhere in the world where there is a meeting was one of the biggest lifelines. And to understand that, yes, of course, it is very brave to come into the rooms, but to understand that every single person who walks through those rooms and decides to stay knows your desperation, knows your suffering, and they are there, we are there, to help you go through the everyday in and outs of getting back to living, thanks to stopping drinking, facing our issues, cleaning our side of the sidewalk, and just learning to laugh again. I mean, nowadays I understand perfectly well why the first day that I walked in there, everybody was joking, laughing, camaraderie. It was, you know, basically a small little party, you know, the meeting before the meeting and the meeting after the meeting. It's little parties just with no alcohol, but with joyous people, with people who want to be there, with people who want to break free. And I, for one, feel the most thankful that I have adopted this lifestyle and adopted this path for myself. Still a long way to go for me. I'm coming up on my fourth year of sobriety. But it's so much better than it was 4 years ago, so much better than it was 10 years ago. Now I have hope. I have faith. And I'm not talking about a religious or ecclesiastic hope or faith. It's more just that life is possible, that life can happen to me, and that I can achieve it if I work with my fellow alcoholics, if I work in service of other people. And I've learned, not completely successful yet, but I'm learning to get out of my head and to live. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much, Tony Alcoholic.
Thank you so much, Tony. That was a great share. And would you like to share with us now, please, Ronaldo?
Yes, please, Judy. Thank you for having me here today. I'm Ronaldo, I'm an alcoholic. And my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous started in 2012 when I finally reached my first rock bottom. And I was living here in New Zealand, and I just completely lost any hope of having a life. The drink has got to me so badly that I became homeless, jobless, and just hopeless. Still, I had a little bit of pride in myself and ego that made me think that I could still do it, you know, by living in a little bush somewhere where I could get a bit of wood and do a fire and then get this big coat and go inside of a supermarket and then just steal alcohol and steal steaks. And I thought, nah, I could still do this. That's how insane the disease made me be, you know. The level of insanity, it's unbelievable. Until one night where I had completely drunk and taken substances of an absurd amount and was walking along this street, and I saw some people having a party, and I just went into the party and then just, you know, turned their party into a little bit more of a bigger party than actually they wanted to be. And just dawned on me that I was just playing an act, you know. I wasn't really myself. I wasn't really happy when I was doing it. I was just acting out. And then I just left, you know. I just left and started continuously walking on that same night and just aimlessly walking. Then up on that bullock track, for you in New Zealand, Auckland, you know what I'm talking about. Bullock track is this real steep hill that you walk up from Western Springs. And but I woke up the hill when I got to the top of the hill, and it was actually a really beautiful starry night and moon and all that, but I didn't pay attention to that until that moment. But when I got to the top of the hill, I just felt like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I was becoming and what was life was meant to be for me. And I just stopped it right there and went down on my knees for the first time in years, and I just asked for help for something out there, you know. Just humbly asked for help. I didn't know who it was or what it was, but I just had the urge to ask for help. And yeah, fast forward a few days and that, and I start slowly coming back into sense. I met this lady at somewhere where I was actually playing a festival, and then we were talking, and then we became real friendly, and you know, the funny thing is she didn't drink any alcohol, and I felt really embarrassed that I drink alcohol when I was with her, and I didn't want to drink alcohol. I want to be respectful of her choice, and I didn't want to be that person, so I decided not to drink when I was with her. But not long after that decision, I couldn't stay more than like a day with her. I wanted to stay more with her. And then I had one day, I just told her, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know. I have a big problem with alcohol. And that. So she said, don't worry, we'll call some people in AA. And then I heard about AA, but I never really had a go at it. But and that same night, some couple of guys came in, they picked me up, and they took me to my first meeting. And then when I saw the first step on the wall, I just shined bright, just the number one. will powerless over alcohol, and their whole lives had become unmanageable. That was me. I knew all of that before I even got to that room. So that was the first spiritual experience to see that. And these people, they would, and I was just so happy and joyous. And I wanted what those people have, you know, those older men that were there, the experience, what the way they spoke and how everybody was happy. So I just stick around and I kept on coming back. And so I did, you know, and I got a sponsor and started doing steps. But for 5 years, it was really good. And then I fall into that trap where I stopped going to meetings and I let myself think, well, that addictive thinking came back and said, look, you don't really need to go to those meetings. And I did believe on that voice and stopped coming to meetings. No longer after that, not going to meetings, I fell off the wagon again. And took me 6 years to come back from that. But ever since 2023, when I reached my second rock bottom, I came straight back into the doors of AA, and I was, you know, I was so ashamed to come back, but the way they received me back into AA was just unbelievable. So much love, so much hope. I felt that I belong again, that I was, you know, that's my community, that's my people. I need to stick around. And then I just started relentless doing the work. And I just stopped just everything that I did before. I just started doing what was suggested. I got a new sponsor. I worked the steps with him. I started doing any kind of service I could. Started off by washing dishes, helping set up the meetings, going early to the meetings. Really important for me, being there at least half an hour beforehand and staying around after the meeting, because the camaraderie and the connections that you create and friendships from this fellowship is just unbelievable. And that's what keeps me coming back. And now I have, you know, a few service positions, and I just love this fellowship. It's part of my life, and it's the most important thing in my life is AA. I must never forget the fact that I'm an alcoholic, and that all that could take is for me to stop going to meetings and start listening to their voice that's still there. You know, the disease, like they say, you know, yeah, still the disease is out there doing press-ups in the car park waiting to catch us off guard. And I do believe that, because I had the true experience of doing that, and I don't want to never do that again. I think I learned my lesson, and all the service that I do, it's, you know, from love of the fellowship, and I just want this fellowship to grow more and more. So thank you so much for having me here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronaldo. That's great. And, you know, I've seen a great change from when you first came in. Yes, you do so much service, and it's made a huge difference. Thank you very much. I'm saying that because I know Ronaldo really well. Guy, would you like to share with us now, please?
Thank you. Kia ora te whanau. Thank you, Judy, Siobhan, Tony and Ronaldo. And thank you to AA. I hope you're ready. I've written this. To hold AA to its highest value, to everyone in this room, I'll speak of what I feel is everyone's highest value, and that's family. I've been 3 years sober, coming up in July. I dry drunked it a few times and sometimes for a year, but without the program, there was no true progress or difference that could solidify change. My first sponsor from Milford said only 4% of AA people truly stay sober, and I thought, challenge accepted. Some people spoke of their first opinions thinking people were weird or who are these weirdos, and I never thought that. I always knew I was right where I was meant to be from the first meeting, and ever since then the reflection of growth in my wife's eyes, my mother's eyes, and then in my own has mirrored that progress. It doesn't have a price tag. It doesn't have a magic spell that can change the past. But not only have I gotten sober,
my closest uncle, who's been like the brother and father sometimes I never had, who along my sober journey also got sober. And that's been like having a best mate give up the drink who was twice as worse as me. So the psychological shift from each step, asking the right questions from the paperwork, reading the tradition as per step, going back over the big book, it's ingrained. It's programmed me to believe in the value of myself within a family and who I am here on earth. In this place, not just myself, but my family and community. Some people are born into that true sense of joy and belonging. And some people like me or you or us, maybe some of you don't feel that way, have to earn it because of the journey we took. But I know that in AA's existence, because AA exists, God, the higher power and the coming together of all of us within the meetings, the wisdom of my elders and the mercy of people much wiser than I, some even younger, and especially the children looking up to me, relying on me now. Because AA exists, I'm here now. And so thank you to everyone for being here. I watched this Manosphere documentary on Netflix about these gross male influencers being interviewed by the great Louis Theroux. I never realized how gross that male influencer stuff had become. So listen, I want to say shout outs to all the real men out there, all the men who live in the approval of their family, their wives and children. Shout outs to all the men who have lost their position in their family, yet do their best to reconnect and reestablish who they are to their family. Because sadly, there's definitely a few in AA and in life. I really dedicate what I'm saying here to all the men. A special, very special thank you to all the men doing right by their family to the best of their ability. Leading by example, raising sons and daughters to the best they can be. What I saw on that show was really hurtful, and I know a lot of good men who do right by their position in life, and I know a few men who have lost their kids because of the mistakes they have made, and they live with those mistakes and do the best they can to become better men. So this includes all men. If you're being honorable to your family and really honoring your wife and children, living in that respect, which isn't easy actually, then good work. None of us are perfect. But if you're listening to this, thank you, because that's how we keep the world happy and our families safe and our tamariki safe. And teach our children their values and how they treat one another. So thank you, Judy. Judy said to keep it focused, to experience strength and hope, so here it goes. Firstly, shout outs to Milford Meeting, Sunny Nook and Glenfield Meeting, especially my sponsor, Ronaldo. God is good, and I'm very thankful to write this after a day's scaffolding, hanging out with my son while I wait for my wife to come home and I'm about to cook dinner. Experience strength and hope. My experience is probably very similar to a lot of yours. I had a father figure who didn't use his mana for the power of good, and he was unaware and naive to the hurt he was causing. But my father was from a different era with a lot less mercy and guidance, so it wasn't his fault, but my mum had to leave him when I was 3. My mum went to uni, had her own home by 23 and deserved better, and she raised me right. Unfortunately, God put before her a very rich man who was an alcoholic gambler, and my real father had heavy drug issues. My stepfather hid his alcohol addictions by having money. Money will never buy happiness. And over time, his abuse started getting worse, and I was just a kid, but he was pretty much beating me up until he almost killed me when I was 16. By which point, he had shipped me and my mum off to Sydney when I was 12, so I was torn from my roots, and alcohol and drugs were just a very normal thing over there. My experience from that childhood, I had a fake ID by 15, I played 3 seasons of Australian Football League, and drugs and alcohol were just a common thing. Very naive, unaware of the pain I was masking from being disconnected from my family and the replacement of a father figure I found in older brother figures who were really just hardcore criminals, and it didn't help. By the time my alcohol and drug experience was closing, I had been arrested enough times to thankfully meet a social worker who introduced me to a form of recovery. And it really opened my mind to the form of disservice I was doing to myself and others by this experience and continuing it. I come from a generation before social media. I know what this old school mentality feels like to cut everyone off who has anything to do with drugs in order to begin a new life, and so I did. Then the best thing happened. A friend dared me to join the army. And look, that lasted only a month, but it began a service and a place to desire to help others. Eventually, I came home 6 years ago. My experience in its darkest times ended in Sydney, living in an apartment, gas and power cut off, sleeping on a mattress on the floor, failing managing my mother's restaurant, being the 3rd man to have robbed her, disconnecting even further by going overseas to join an army I had no business joining, then bringing all that toxic masculinity nonsense I was unaware of from trauma home. Then I was lucky enough to have gotten so drunk I said the dumbest stuff to a recruitment officer, and I lost my spot in the military and police. Defence Force later sent me to a psychiatrist who passed me, and a blessing in disguise, I was only further rejected. I started to build a relationship with my now wife and her family and grow from my own family. Not everyone is lucky enough to overcome their demons the way I have, or be around the people who have guided me knowingly and unknowingly. I've been in civil defense 3 years, and I've been on 6 deployments. I've been sober that whole time. My experience of drugs and alcohol truly ended 3 years ago when my wife got pregnant, and I was lucky enough to find AA. I'm humbled because it's allowed my uncle to get sober as well as people who, quite frankly, I know are much more senior in their career than me, but come to me, and that's allowed us to work together to truly help one another. Now let's talk about strength. I know a little bit about it. I ran 100 miles in 24 hours 2 weeks ago at Riverhead. Listen, what didn't make me strong was when I was 8 years old and my stepdad started slamming my head into the table because I couldn't do my maths homework. What didn't make me strong was my real dad saying I wasn't his son because I was sexually abused by his ex-girlfriend's son, and then I recycled that trauma in its entirety when I was age 11. What didn't make me strong was waking up in cells in 3 different countries, or the violence, the blood in and blood out I endured. What did make me strong was the day I walked into a meeting and sat there and empathized with stories for an hour of similar cause and effect. What made me strong was walking away from that meeting and spending a week repeating those stories and learning from others. I sit here now looking like this man who's never had a problem in his life, but that's because surrendering to AA made me this way. I'm just one human of energy lucky enough to be among a bunch of other energies who have come close enough to help me. Together, that is strength, no sugarcoating, no looking for approval, no fear, just truth, love, and understanding. That is what I believe is strength to me and my experience. Hope. Hope is love. Hope is that last family member standing by you, the uncle who lets you sleep on his floor, the mother who still sees the best in you, the naivety of not having hope. Hope is walking into your first meeting. Hope is knowing you're at rock bottom and building a gratitude from there. Hope is love. Hope is free. Hope is time passing that accumulates today sober, and hope is the clarity from sobriety. Hope is the smile you have for no reason. Hope is connection, and hope is the love and its respect, and it's everything you've been through to get to here, right here, right now. Because focusing on the horizon and being grateful for the air you breathe, the food you eat, the people you sit in a room with. Hope is getting a text from your sponsor or someone you know for no reason, because people not only care about you, but they're delighted to be around you. And that's hope. That hope evolves from AA. It starts with AA and my experience of strength and hope. So if you're struggling out there, believe in yourself. You're stronger than you think. Get to a meeting, get to a sponsor, and do the steps. Be strong. Read the literature. Listen to the comedians who are proud to be in AA, like Theo Von. Listen to the pro athletes proud to be in AA, like Max Joliffe. Immerse yourself in the AA culture. It'll keep you alive and sober. May God be with you. God bless.
Thanks so much, Guy. That's all we have time for today. So thank you to Tony, Ronaldo and Guy for joining us in the studio today. And and to all of you for listening. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 here on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website at aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. Could we all now close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, please? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Your language on planetaudio.org.
English for Migrants.
Women's Voices.
Books and Beyond.
Street Science.
And heaps more. Not only is every show on Planet FM available for 4 weeks after broadcast, many have archives packed with essential information. Information about mental health and wellness on Take It From Us and Siama Pacifica Health, about support for elders on Senior Focus, about books, art, gardening, philosophical discussions, festivals, even English language lessons. Libraries of podcasts that you can stream and share. Go to planetaudio.org.nz, search for your favourite program, And if there's an archive button, get clicking.
Catch up with the Bridge Zone crew.
Listen to the banter on bidding, leads, and a stealing of kings.
What the heck?
We ask the hard questions. No subject is safe. Should you play bridge with your spouse?
Is there gender inequality in bridge?
How hot are you?
How hot are you?
It's like eavesdropping on someone's conversation.
A postcard from Scotland.
Views from the experienced player to the improvers.
Join us. The fun way to discuss bridge dynamics.
Bridge. Easy to learn, hard to master.
Catch the Bridge Zone on Planet 104.6 FM every Wednesday at 9:25 PM.
Need a break?